Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at Wintrust.com/Cubs. Member FDIC.
Welcome into the Cubs Talk podcast presented by Wintrust with our insiders David Kaplan and Tony Andracki. I'm Luke Stuckmeyer. Holiday season's here. We're ready to crush some turkey dinners, but more importantly, we're supposed to be thankful, guys. We're supposed to be thankful for things. So we're talking about what we're thankful for as Cub fans outside of winning the World Series in 2016, because that's too obvious of an answer. Rank your top three things you're most thankful for as a Cubs fan. We're also going to read some responses from listeners that joined in on Twitter. So let's go number three being, you know, less thankful than number one. So we're going from three all the way up to number one. Number three, Cap, what are you most thankful for at number three?
The fact that the Cubs were able to renovate and save Wrigley Field. I grew up going to that park. I was a vendor in that park. I got fired as a vendor in that park, but it
sold illegal T-shirts outside of that park.
Bootleg T-shirts got me busted. But Wrigley is such a special.
Hold on. Can we go back to that for a sec? Can you give me a couple examples of maybe some of the bootleg T-shirts you sold?
It was just one. It said, "So close we could taste it, 1984 Chicago Cubs."
Awesome.
And they said, "You said Chicago Cubs. You violated our copyright. You're fired." Dallas Green, may rest in peace, fired me.
Damn.
He gone.
So
not Dallas Green. You were gone.
Correct.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Just
for a second there,
just clarifying.
Like,
actually, I really went actually, deep on that. Yeah, huh? Yeah.
He gone is correct, but
that's not where I was going.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Being able to save Wrigley for generations to come, and it's such an unbelievably upgraded experience now. That's number three for me.
How about you, Tony?
For me, the Red Sox collapse in 2011, I know it doesn't seem like it affected the Cubs, but obviously that's the beer and fried chicken. I mean, Theo left because of that. And then, in a way, John Lester left because of that. John Lackey left because of that, too, eventually. And, you know, Lackey, his time here was just hilarious. It was a couple years later that he eventually left Boston. But, I mean, really the big thing is Theo Epstein. Theo leaving Boston set everything in motion here for the Cubs winning the World Series in 16. Without that collapse from the Red Sox in 11, Theo's not in Chicago. I don't know if the Cubs win the World Series by this point that we're talking about Thanksgiving 2018.
I like that. I'm sort of in line with Cap for my number three. It's just the escape of Cubs baseball in Wrigley Field. What it means to Cubs fans, for generations of families to watch it. It was coming home from school as a kid and trying to get home in time to catch the last couple innings on WGN back in the day. It's going to the ballpark and seeing the green ivy and thinking, wow, that's a place I want to go to. It's the first time you go to Wrigley. So just the experience of Cubs baseball in so many different ways. Number two, Cap, I think, where are you at here?
It would be the hiring of Theo Epstein.
Theo, yeah.
Being able to get Theo Epstein to Chicago, as Tony said, it was the impetus for everything. The team has taken on his vibe. He created this with the blessing of his, you know, bosses. So Theo Epstein would be number two.
I mean, 100-plus years, and in a blink of an eye, he turns him into a World Series champion.
Crazy.
Just like that.
Oh,
not
it did
by
not
himself.
Feel like a blink of an eye covering
well,
and watching those 2012
But there was
teams.
A process, and that's what Sox fans are kind of going through now. At least you knew you were building towards something instead of just sort of chaotic moving all over the place.
Agreed.
What about you, Tony?
For me, it's the Dodgers hiring Andrew Friedman. Him leaving Tampa Bay opened up the door for Joe Maddon, the clause in his contract, to look elsewhere. Obviously, he came here the same reason as Theo Epstein. I don't think the Cubs win the World Series if Joe Maddon is not their manager in 2016. I know a lot of fans will not agree with that based off of the decisions he made in the World Series, but looking more big picture than that, he was a major factor for why they rose above the Cardinals, were even, you know, did what they did in 2015. And then, of course, getting back to that, I think Joe Maddon steered the ship in a way that maybe nobody else could have. And either way, I mean, you can't argue with the results.
I'm with Cap, though. I'm in on Theo. I think Theo, for me, was – he's not the biggest. That's my number one, and I guess we'll do it reverse this way. For me, Theo was number two, and for number one, it was the Ricketts family.
I'm with you. That's
none,
my number
none
one.
None of it happens without the Ricketts family. If it's still a corporate team, none of it happens. They're not willing to take the losing for, you know, 3-4 years.
Or renovate Wrigley out of their own pocket.
True. Yeah, they $750+ million.
They did it all. Wrigley Field is beautiful. Wrigleyville is beautiful. They helped build a World Series championship team by finding Joe Maddon, Theo Epstein, putting it all in. You couldn't ask the Ricketts to be better owners than they have been since they got here.
Well said.
They are absolutely the perfect owners for the franchise.
Yep, I have the Ricketts family right at the top of the list.
That makes my number one pale in comparison, because that is really well said. My number one is the Astros drafting Mark Appel and leaving Chris Bryant available for the Cubs.
That's good,
though. To take number two. I mean, Mark Appel, obviously, we know, is out of baseball now. Had they drafted Chris Bryant, the Cubs would have had to choose between Appel and John Gray. Both guys obviously would not have impacted their franchise the way Chris Bryant has. And at the very least, I mean, Bryant now, he's given us a lot of fodder, not necessarily on his own accord, but just because of the trade rumors and everything else. There's just, I mean, there's so many things to like about him. And there's still 3 years here. He's one of the best players in baseball. Cubs don't draft him. I think it changes everything.
Those are all good. I think every choice we had was pretty good. I want to give two real quick from listeners. SOS It's SARS on Twitter says, Joe Maddon letting Rizzo pitch last season. Mm-hmm. One thing they're thankful for. And Big Music Fan 71 says, Javi Baez learning to hit opposite field. Not bad. I mean, that definitely has changed his career.
Took him to a different level.
Yeah. Absolutely. We're going to take a quick break here and pay Cap's multi-million-dollar contract. When we come back after the after Thanksgiving.
Are the Ricketts helping us with that too?
I hope so.
Yeah.
After Thanksgiving, we focus to the deals of Black Friday. Is there a Cubby Blue Light special you'll never forget? We'll talk about it.
Cubs authentic fans, the My Teams app by NBC Sports is your home for Cubs highlights, articles, and more. For the best Cubs coverage anytime, anywhere, download the My Teams app today.
Welcome back to the Cubs Talk podcast presented by Wintrust. Luke Stuckmeyer, David Kaplan, Tony Andracki. We talked about what we've been thankful for as Cubs fans. Now we're moving past Thanksgiving to the deals of Black Friday. What's your favorite deal in Cubs history? We'll go from three all the way up to number one. Cap, for you, what's number three?
Fergie Jenkins being acquired by the Cubs back in the mid-1960s from the Philadelphia Phillies. And everyone, yeah, he's okay, middling guy, can relieve, can start. And little did we know that was going to be the start of six consecutive 20-win seasons. He would pile up almost 300 innings a year, and he ended up going to the Hall of Fame.
That's 300 innings a year is absolutely nuts.
That's crazy.
I cannot wrap my head around that.
Fergie told me that he would be playing in a game pitching against Bob Gibson, and the Cubs would be losing 1-0 in the eighth, and his turn to bat is coming up, and Leo would say, how you feel? He goes, I feel great. He goes, you're hitting. He said, I would hit all the time down in the eighth. All the time.
No Tommy Listella's back then, huh?
Leo did not believe in it because Fergie was a good hitting pitcher. And he goes, I don't have a reliever as good as you. If you feel good, you're going back out.
That's fair.
Tony, you're number three?
So I thought about going to Sosa. The trade for Sosa was something that I definitely thought about here. But I kept it. The whole theme of this is the 2016 World Series. And like you said, we're not talking about that specifically. But it's all recency bias. And I think what I wanted to do professionally is I wanted to cover the Cubs team that finally won it all, and that's where all of these rank for
me. I think the three of us all had that because I know Lucas told me that.
Yeah, that was my goal when I went into when I decided to go to it. Yeah.
Me as well. I mean, I just wanted to be there whenever the Cubs won it all. Luckily, we were, and I think John Lester is my number three, his free agent deal, because it set all of these things in motion and it changed the culture inside the clubhouse. So obviously, yeah, his performance is great. But Lester, even at the end of 2018 here, years after they won the World Series, I still appreciate his candor and the leadership that he provides in that clubhouse. And they've taken on his bulldog professional mentality.
He was the first big piece that really changed things for the franchise. And there are several deals that I know are going to come up in this segment still to come
that led to the 2016 World Series. You mentioned mine. I'm going to go Sammy Sosa. I don't think you can forget what Sammy did here. In a time where they weren't winning a ton, Sammy was the Chicago Cubs. Yeah. He was the show, and that was March 30th, 1992. Cubs gave up George Bell, and they did it to their rival across town, the White Sox, and they ended up getting one of the greatest players in baseball history. Now, do I think he did some things that cheated? I think a lot of players did, and I think Sammy absolutely did. But that trade is still one of the greatest in team history.
Yeah, I have Kyle Hendricks being acquired for Ryan Dempster.
As number two.
I love Ryan. He's a friend of mine.
Yeah.
He's a good guy. He's the best. But you took a guy who was not going to impact you by the time you were ready to win.
Right.
And you got back a linchpin to the 2016 champion.
I'm right there with you. That's my number two as well. And it's kind of funny to think about Dempster almost went to the Braves, remember, for Randall Delgado. And Delgado has not had a very good big league career. He's basically been a middling reliever since. But it is funny that that didn't go through, and then they end up getting Kyle Hendricks.
The way guy better pitches. Deal.
Yeah, Game 7 in the World Series, and just everything that he's brought to this team as well, Hendricks, it's just awesome to watch him
quality
go on and continue
dude.
To do it. Yeah, absolutely.
So, Tony, your first two obviously led to a World Series. My first two did not. The first one for me was Sammy Sosa. My second one is another Hall of Famer, though. Sammy's not a Hall of Famer, but a Hall of Famer, as in Fergie was. Ryne Sandberg coming was an unbelievable deal. At the time, Ivan DeJesus was my favorite player as a kid because he slid head first, he was fast, he was on the bases a lot. I loved Ivan DeJesus. They traded Ivan DeJesus for Larry Boa and Ryne Sandberg in 82, and best second baseman in Cubs history. And some would argue he's the best second baseman in the history of baseball.
No question about it. He's right there with Joe Morgan. And
oh, he's better than – let's not even talk about Joe Morgan.
Agreed.
That's like a curse word.
Like, I love how Rhino played. Amazing power, 40 home runs one season.
Yeah.
Gold glove after gold glove, all-star after all-star.
No bragging.
Just
went out and
go out and play. So, yeah, I could see exactly where you're coming from.
All right, how about your number one?
My number one's the acquisition of Jake Arrieta.
Same.
The best trade in the history.
All three of us, so we can just say that. That's what it
and
is,
Strope.
Right?
Best trade in the
Strope
history.
Is right. He makes it. That's
he really
what puts
does.
It over the top.
Absolutely. The exact same thing for me, Luke, is because everything you're saying about Arrieta, but that Pedro Strope, that he came over at the same time for Feldman and Steve Clevenger, and Strope is now one of the top 10 relievers in Cubs history. In games, well, he leads and holds, but in innings pitched as a reliever, in games, appearances, all that stuff. But, of course, I mean, Jake Arrieta, my God, everything he did in 15 and 16.
I mean, he's easily the choice. And giving up Clevenger and Feldman,
incredible.
I still can't believe it happened.
It's funny. I talked to Chris Bosio today, and we were talking about Jake Arrieta. And he said, people forget when they acquired him, they sent him to the minors.
They had a guy to fix.
They had
to fix him.
He said, we sent him down. We said, just go pitch. Don't even worry about anything. Not going to get any reports on you. And then he came up, he made a spot start, and they sent him back down. And then when he finally came up to stay, he said he was very, very open to, let's try different things. And the Cubs were open to crossfire delivery, let him try a couple different things, and he goes, the rest is history.
And then in 14, his first full year with the Cubs, remember, Arrieta actually had a shoulder issue, so he didn't even start with the team. He didn't come until, like, the second week of May or something like that. So, and then he was pretty good from there in 15, obviously. We know what he did.
So I have four more that are certainly honorable mention and should be at least brought up. Can you tell me who the other four trades are?
Trades?
They are all trades.
Okay. All-time trades or recent trades?
All-time. Cubs history for the best trades. And Mordecai Brown is not one of them because I never saw him play.
So it's all players you saw?
Yep.
Derek Lee
for Hesop Choi definitely has to be
got to be on that list.
D. Lee,
Aramis Ramirez and Kenny Lofton.
That's a good
for
one.
For Jose Hernandez and Bobby Hill. That is definitely on there. We talked with Jim Hendry about that.
Very good one.
Two more.
Wow.
No. I mean, these are easy. One of them's on the team.
Oh, Rizzo.
Rizzo for Cashner. I mean, you want to talk about 2016.
I kind of forget that it's a trade because it just was so long ago.
Addison Russell.
I mean, that was your. I mean, Addison Russell was another one. If you wanted to put a fifth one on there, for sure, for Jeff Samardzija. And the other one, it's much longer ago, but turned out to be
really a good team trade for both teams, Rick Sutcliffe for Joe Carter and Mel Hall in 84.
That was a good one. Right.
I mean, Sutcliffe went 16-1 with the Cubs.
Right, and Russell was for Hamill and Samardzija. They were not going to be able to sign Samardzija, and they were not going to bring Hamill back unless they could get him to come back on a short deal.
Which so then they did.
They ended up doing.
And Joe Carter turned out to be, in that trade, Joe Carter turned out to be a really good player. But you hope that turns out sort of like trading Gleyber Torres.
And Mel Hall.
You were hoping to win the World Series or at least get there.
Mel Hall never really became a great player. Now he's in jail.
Oh, he is?
Yeah. Yeah.
He had some issues.
Some things that were not right in his life, for sure.
Yes.
Anybody else you can think of?
I mean, the Chapman thing, you did mention Gleyber Torres.
I don't think they win the World Series without him.
I don't think so either. I think Joe Maddon would tell me the same thing.
I'll tell you the biggest free agent acquisition that they ever made prior to John Lester.
Andre Dawson.
Nope. Harry Carey.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I had Harry in my list for a while. Harry Carey as one of my things you're most thankful for, because as a kid, when they weren't winning, you still had Harry Carey, the day baseball, all of that stuff.
It was amazing.
When he left the White Sox and the Cardinals and came to the Cubs, we're still singing the seventh inning stretch in tradition, and his restaurants are all over.
They used to chain off the upper deck when I was a vendor. You couldn't go up there. It was locked off. And then Harry came in 84, everything changed. And Harry was signing a one-year extension to stay with the Sox. He was not happy. And his attorney called Jim Dowdle, the late Jim Dowdle, at 4:15 one afternoon and said, "Would you want Harry Carey as the announcer of the Cubs?" He said, "Well, of course, but he's the White Sox announcer." "He's not yet. He's got to sign his contract at 5:30. If you want him, we got to meet in 15 minutes and make a deal." He said, "I'll be there, Ambassador West." There he went, or Ambassador East. He went over to the hotel. They scribbled it out on a napkin, and at 5 o'clock, he was the new Cubs announcer.
Well, hopefully, that's an unbelievable story.
Yeah.
And hopefully, by this time next year, we can be thankful for a second World Series championship in our lifetimes.
That'd be amazing.
That'd be nice, right? All right, everybody have a safe, happy Thanksgiving. We hope you'll join us next week for two more Cubs Talk podcasts presented by Wintrust. For David Kaplan, for Tony Andracki, I'm Luke Stuckmeyer. We'll talk to you next week.